Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
To be moved not by the hecticness of a consumeristic calendar, but to be moved by this pull of Advent and the Advent calendar. Because Advent's designed to disrupt the cycle that calls us to consumerism and interrupt that to examine our longings. It's a time where we celebrate the first coming of Christ, and we also anticipate the second coming of Christ. It puts us in touch with this, really, what I want to call a holy angst with our world, and hopefully produces a cry within all of us that says, man, come, Lord Jesus, come. Advent calls us to pause. It calls us to long and to examine. And today, I want us to focus on peace because it calls us to peace as well. Would you pray with me, Father, as we step into looking at your word in the next several minutes, pray that you would just illuminate it to us, no matter where we find ourselves in our relationship with you. God, I pray that we would see your heart today, and God, that we would answer the call of peace, and Lord, that we would be moved by you, Jesus, whether we're here in this building or we're watching online. God, I thank you that you have a word for each and every one of us, so Spirit, speak like only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Luke writes in Luke chapter 2, verse 4, and Joseph also went up to from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch of their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." As we get going this morning talking about this subject, let me ask you a question. What would it take for you to feel at peace? At peace in life right now, at peace in your home. What would it take for you to have a perfect Christmas this year? What would it take for you to just like, man, I just feel like at peace in who I am, with my home and with the situations of my life? What would it take? I was telling first service, you know, I think as we think about Christmas and kind of our modern day, you know, American version of it, I think one of the things that if I could have a perfect peace or of Christmas outside of Christ, I mean, Christ is my peace, but let me just walk with me, all right? It would be that we have to have a white Christmas. How many know? I mean, like, for Christmas to be legit, how many think it needs to have a little snow? All right? Now, how many of you have felt a little lied to of, I'm dreaming for of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, just is missing, like, several years of your life? Right? Or maybe you think, man, it would be a perfect Christmas if all my shopping was done. And it would just feel different. Maybe you would say, man, it would be like a peaceful Christmas if my house was cleaned, if my spouse, if you're married, my spouse and my kids cleaned my house, or a cleaning service just showed up tomorrow morning, rang your doorbell and said, "Hey, we're here to clean your house," and you could just sit on the couch while someone's running the vacuum cleaner, drinking your hot cocoa, watching Hallmark Christmas movies. That would be peace. Maybe you would say, man, just being able to watch my stack of Christmas movie DVDs or my playlist of Christmas movies and just be able to watch and just like be uninterrupted, that would be like perfect Christmas peace. I mean, all that sounds nice, but here's the deal. If your peace has a prerequisite, then your peace will become or is a house of cards. What do you mean by that, Steve? It can fall really quickly. Case in point, let me just kind of invite you into my living room, or not my living room, my mom's dining room, about probably, 30 years ago or so. I don't know if it was that long, but it was a long time ago. I don't even remember if Austin had been born yet, but we were in Fort Collins at my parents' house and for Christmas to celebrate with my family. So we had me and Robin, my mom and my dad, Kay, who's my sister, the middle sibling, and her husband. They live in Australia. He's Australian. And my other sister, Kim. Kim was not married. She was in her 30s. The worry of her life was, am I ever going to get married? Is there someone out there, or is this what is going to be my life, a single person? And so we were there at my parents' house celebrating Christmas. My mom is not a fancy person but at Christmas Eve, it was fancy. It was always candlelights out in the dining room, really fancy. So that's where we were. We all were gathered around there. It was probably 6 o'clock, 6:30 at night because it was dark outside, and it was just candlelight. And we're sitting around the table. My sister's there with an empty chair beside her because she's single, and we're hoping and believing or something. I don't know. But anyway, all of a sudden the doorbell rings. My mom gets up. She goes and answers the door, and the gentleman at the door says, I need to speak with Gail Raines, please. It's Christmas Eve. And my mom says, well, I'm her. And the gentleman looks at her and says, ma'am, you've been served, and gives her this envelope. And this envelope is documented. I mean, it's like legit. And my mom's like, for what? And she said, and the gentleman said, well, because so-and-so is filing a lawsuit against you because you've been harassing them and all this stuff. And if you knew my mom is like very direct. And once something gets under her skin, it's like you're going to hear about it. And even if you don't know her, she's just going to come up to you and just let you know what she thinks about you, which is really scary if you're a teenage son. So what had happened, I don't remember the full scenario, but in my hometown, there was a lady that was just being just very mean and spiteful towards a situation, and my mom read about it in the newspaper, and okay, forgive my mom for doing this, all right? But my mom saw the lady's name and decided to just call her. Because that was back in the day when we had phone books. Remember phone books, right? And so my mom opened the phone book, looked her name, found her name, and called the lady. And just started like, I don't know what she said to her, but called her, like, you know, just like, you're wrong, da-da-da-da-da, and hung up, and then like called her back like the next day. And just like tormented this person, all right? So my mom was served that night on Christmas Eve. And my mom gets this, shuts the door. She is like silent. Like, what just happened? Like, mom's ready to, you know, break out. And so she goes up to her bedroom, closes the door behind her, is in there for a couple moments, comes out, sits down at the table. It's candlelight table, you know, and we're just like all looking at mom like, What did you say? Why did you say that? I mean, the peace of Christmas had left the house, right? And all of us, about 5 minutes later, the doorbell rings. My mom goes back down to answer the door, and it's the same guy that dropped off the papers. Well, it happened to be my 2B brother-in-law that was playing a joke on my mom. And I mean, he had lawyer friends draw this thing up. It was like legit. Right? And you could see my mom, she was like part just like so relieved, like peace came back over her, but the other part of her was so like bug-eyed, like ticked off, like, oh my goodness, it was so funny. And but the house of cards kind of fell there for a little bit in our room, in our little, you know, New Year or Christmas Eve candlelight dinner. What's the source of your peace? You have perfect peace available through Jesus. Peace because of the person of Christ versus peace based on external conditions. Author and pastor John Tyson talks about when we think of peace, we think of two kinds of peace. It's the absence of conflict, that all is well. It's the beautiful external peace. I kind of, in my mind, was thinking back to when my boys were little and we would put them in bed at night. They would finally fall asleep and then you would go into their room and you would just watch them sleep. Parents, you ever do that? You just kind of sit there and look, oh man, they're just so cute. What happens the other 12 hours of the day? Right? You're just looking at them and they're just like this peace, you know? It's just like this moment, like, man, can we just stay here forever? Because this is awesome. Right? Well, one of the other things that I love to do that is kind of like a peace moment for me, external peace moment, if you will, is, man, you know I love snow. And one of the things I love to do is to go run when it's snowing, to go out for a walk or to go for a run in the snow. I mean, for me, there's like nothing more peaceful than that. It's just running and it's so quiet and it's just so, no one's out. It's just like, ah. Oh. So like when I'm 95 years old, yeah, I'm going to be out doing it, man. I'm going to be out doing my best, trying to run out in the snow. And Robin will be like, I told you, you shouldn't do that. You're going to fall, you know, but I'll like, come on, run with me, and she'll come. So you have that beautiful external peace, but Bible type of peace, biblical peace, is really a defiant peace. It's an inward peace that isn't reflected in outward circumstances. Christmas means you have everything available to experience peace because peace came on that first Christmas in the person of Christ. Peace comes from perfection. But there is only one perfect Prince of Peace, and it is Jesus. So let's talk about peace that's rooted in Christ and not in circumstances this morning. The first thought this morning that I have is peace is a promise. Look at it in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and be with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is just one of many Old Testament prophecies of the coming of Jesus, prophesying the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. The background of Isaiah's prophecy here is in Isaiah chapter 8 and 9, what's going on is King Ahaz, who is the king of Judah, is in a hot mess. I mean, it's like things are breaking out. It's not a good situation. He's been invited to make an alliance with Israel and Syria because the king of Assyria is planning on attacking those three nations. And so Ahaz is frightened and fear is gripping him. And the prophet Isaiah comes along and counsels King Ahaz, be calm. Stand firm. Put your faith in God. Salvation is going to come from God. It's not going to come politically. It's not going to come via military alliances. These threats may seem so urgent and so big and so near to you, King Ahaz. If you can just see from my perspective, though, they're basically gone. Because I have a plan. Because I'm working, Ahaz. Trust me. Their judgment and destiny has already been decided. And this moment of testing of whether God's people will choose his way or look solely to their own strength to try to solve their problems. How many have ever tried to do that? The question becomes, will they trust God's peace internally or will they hope and try to exercise peace externally? God says to them, there's a deeper peace. And here's the challenge that Isaiah is giving to the king. Don't look to human wisdom to solve this problem. Don't look down only on earthly opportunity to be the source of your peace. He's categorizing God's wisdom, which is from above, against the wisdom which is of this earth or of the age. And in moments of such desperation like this, the children of Israel, what they would often do, and now tell me, do you not see people doing this? Do you not see maybe individuals kind of functioning in this mentality of what the children of Israel did in Isaiah chapter 8 is they heard this prophecy exhorting him, make sure God is providing the answer. Look to him. He's your confidence. He's your trust. You can have peace in him. What they did is they heard that, but they would also bring in mediums. They would bring in spiritists. They would bring in these false prophets from other religions. And they were trying to get a second word because they didn't feel like the word of the Lord was enough. They didn't think that they could trust the first word of God. So they looked for a second word. Now, lay that over the state of our nation. Lay that over current realities that we find ourselves in. And I'm going to unpack this a little bit more, but I think that's one of the traps I see people falling into, is that they've gotten their eyes off of God and have begun to trust in human wisdom, human agency, human religion, and they're opting for that plan over God's plan. Peace means, it's a Hebrew word, shalom, which would be it's not just the absence of conflict, it's the presence of something better in this place. It's complete wholeness. Think about it. The Prince of Peace, he is a noun, he's a verb. He's an adverb. He's an adjective. That the Prince of Peace came to establish peace because peace is a promise and a characteristic of God's kingdom. How important is that? I think it's so important in light of so many things that one of the names of Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It's important that when a third of Americans are showing signs of clinical anxiety or depression since COVID, according to the Census Bureau, it's important that you would know peace. It's important that you would know the Prince of Peace. It's important because CDC reported in August of this year that 1 in 4 young adults have said they have considered suicide during the pandemic. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending how you look at it, we can't just blame the pandemic for it, because most of us in this room carry a device in our back pocket or in our purse or in our backpack that has brought the reality of anxiety to many lives. Social media has birthed a lot of the anxiety issues. When desires and creators of an electronic device and apps that you put on that device make statements like this: nope, I won't give my kid, I won't let my child use one of those devices or use those apps, that should grab your attention. I want to encourage you to do something this Christmas break. Not next Sunday morning because you're watching service online, but another point during the break. I don't really care what generation you are of. I don't care if you are involved in social media or not. I think it would be good for you to watch a documentary on Netflix called Social Dilemma. In his book, Generation Z, Tim Elmore says this: terms have surfaced in our day to describe the increased levels of anxiety or depression. We feel FOMO, fear of missing out, and FOBO, fear of being offline. The New York Times defines FOMO as the blend of anxiety, the inadequacy and irritation that can flare up while skimming social media. Have you ever felt it? You're just going, oh, what's going on? And you see a post, and you're just like, oh, my goodness, the spirit of slap just comes upon you, and you're just ready to just like go to town on that person. You're just like, what in the world are you, what? Have you ever done that? Have you ever, come on, we're in church. Don't judge me like right now, right? I think all of us have had those moments like, oh, what happened? That irritation. He goes on to say, so we might conclude then that just get off your phone. Not so fast. Another shift technology has brought to both teens and Tim Elmore writes, both teens and adults is phobo. Millions now grow anxious when away from their phones. Many students we interviewed suffered from withdrawal symptoms like drug addicts. When their phones were taken away, in short, they're often anxious when on their devices, but also anxious without them. Instagram is a social media giant worth $102 billion. And it's a free app. So you say, well, Steve, how do they get their money? How do they make their money? They make their money by watching what you're interested in on online, on your social media accounts, and then they sell that information to advertisers. Thus, that is why you have red Jeeps that pop up on your social media account all the time, trying to sell you something. And that's how they make their money. And I could go longer, but unpacking the social dilemma, it talks all about that in that documentary. So I'm just not like a middle-aged white guy railing on social media. The church uses it. I have accounts. But there's something to be said about the anxiety and the depression that is in the room, that's in the nation, that's global. Think about this. The American Psychiatric Association stated this. The average child today experiences the same level of anxiety as the psychiatric patient did in the 50s. That's, you know what that is? That's an epidemic. That's called an epidemic. We should have a personal vendetta against anxiety and worry because peace is a promise. Let me just throw a thought, and I struggled if I should share this or not, but I want to just throw this out there, and it's my thought, and I want you to think about something for a moment, and I want you to try to think outside of your Christian bubble if you're a follower of Jesus. This is my opinion, and I may be wrong, and please correct me if I'm wrong, just not like right here. Okay, but this is my opinion. As we've walked through this COVID crisis, this is the first secular crisis the U.S. has ever experienced. We think of our heritage as a nation. We cling to that. We desire that. But we're not there anymore. Steve, what do you mean by that? What I mean is this. There is no one asking pastors on television or in a lot of the communities around our nation, where is God? There aren't any pastors or Christian leaders being called to the table and asked, why did God allow this? Or how is God going to lead us out of this? Or we need the faith community to do this for us. In other words, they aren't even interested in what the Christian position would be. And listen, I'm not railing. That's not my heart this morning at all. I'm just saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not hearing that. And what's left is purely secular political responses, ideology, and hope in science, and conspiracy theories. And it births fragmentism of human wisdom, and the fruit of it is darkness and despair. Peace, listen, peace is a promise, not something that you need more of, but something you need to take hold of, because peace is a person, it's Jesus. Because the reality is, and I'm thankful for the advancements and the hope of the word just left me, the shot for COVID. I hope that all comes to pass. But you know what? There's something else lined up right behind it. And so if our hope and our peace is there, we're always going to be grasping. But if our hope and our peace is in the promise of Christ, you have something to be settled and anchored in. Because peace isn't the absence of problems. Peace is the promise of His presence. And His name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And here's the reality. Real shalom isn't God removing conflict. There will always be conflict until Jesus returns. But it's God showing up in the middle of conflict because peace is a promise. That leads us to the second thought this morning, is peace is a path. Zechariah, we looked at him last week, whose name means God remembers, is prophesying about his son, who is a forerunner of Jesus, the one preparing the way for Jesus. And he declares this in Luke chapter 1, verse 76. Look at it. "And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way of the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace." Peace isn't a destination. Peace is what you walk in. The message of Christmas is that peace came here. You're not walking on a path to future peace, so heaven will be perfect and heaven will be full of peace. True. You're standing on the path of His present peace. Peace isn't a place out there. It's a person within here. It's Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 27 says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Jesus is saying this. "I do not give you to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." John chapter 16, verse 33, "I've told you these things so that that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." The message of Christmas isn't, I'll have peace when I arrive at this situation where I have financial security, I have stability there, I have 6 months worth of emergency fund built up, then I'll have peace. Or it's not relational security, it's not physical impressiveness, then I'll have peace when I get the right body image. It's not that. Have you ever known someone who was going through a really difficult situation? But they have this countenance, they have this look in their eye, they have this perspective on what is going on in them and around them. They have this like spark in their eye that just draws you to them, versus the times where you and I maybe have acted like Barney Fife trying to catch the bad guy. You know, you're just like, where? And this person has this calm. How are they able to do that? Because peace is a promise, and peace is a path. And they're walking with and staying in close proximity with the Prince of Peace. That's how. Number three is peace is a practice. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." See, you can't have a peaceful life without a peaceful mind. Paul says it begins here. Let me illustrate it this way. There are two things in life that I really hate. Well, there's several, but for the sake of this, two things that I struggle doing every day. I know I need to do them, but man, they're just painful. One of them is stretching. I am the most unflexible person, and when I stretch, Man, I'd rather spend 45 minutes in the gym doing a killer workout than having to, that, the stretching part hurts me more than the killer workout part. I hate stretching. Man, when I, after I was born, I became like a rigid board, right? And I hate stretching. And the other thing I hate is flossing my teeth. Anyone, can you feel my pain? Anyone? Right? I mean, I've seen you bend over and tie your shoes. You agree with the stretching part. And the flossing my teeth, I just hate it. It doesn't take that long. I just hate it. But here's the deal. Brushing only cleans 73% of your teeth. It takes flossing to take care of the rest. So in other words, go to the dentist once or twice a year for my annual checkup and cleaning, right? And if I rely on just that trip to do my flossing, guess what? My teeth are going to be in bad shape the rest of the year. It won't cut it. What's your point, Steve? My point is this. One message on peace a year won't cut it. You need to practice peace daily. You need to renew your mind daily. You need to find windows and places in your day to come before the Prince of Peace and bask in His presence, to know His presence. God has promised us and given us peace, and we need to live in it. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, who is a communications pathologist and a cognitive neuroscientist, in other words, she doesn't just talk about the brain. She is a brain. She's brilliant. She said this in reference to neurotheology, which is a study between the relationship between your brain and your belief in God, how God designed your brain and that you can rewire your brain with the truth of God so that you don't have to become a victim of your thoughts and your experiences, that you can have victory over them and take the bad ones captive and stand in truth. She writes about this. I mean, did you know that prayer heals your brain? In Paul's words, aka renewing your mind. Leaf writes this. It's been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on your brain scan. This type of prayer increases activity in brain areas associated with social interaction, compassion, and sensitivity to others. It also increases frontal lobal activity as focuses and intentionality increase. As well as changing the brain, another study implies that intentional prayer can even change physical matter. Researchers found that intentional thought for 30 seconds affected laser light. Amazing. 12 minutes of your day could accomplish. One person said this, your life right now is headed in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Do you like that direction? Is peace one of your strongest thoughts? I'm so thankful to Jesus that He invites us to renew our mind because He's the Prince of Peace. No one talks to you more than you talk to yourself. True? I mean, you talk to yourself all the time. So what are you speaking to yourself and what are you speaking over yourself? I want to encourage you as we wrap up this year and to step in and throughout 2021, may this be a proclamation over your life. May this be something that you speak to yourself daily throughout the day and speak over others, that I am confident and calm. I am on the path of peace with the Prince of Peace. Man, I am confident and I am calm because I am on the path of peace with the Prince of Peace. And it's going to be good. And God's going before me. And He's going to help me weather this situation. Because the reality is this, you may feel anxious, but it doesn't mean that you have to be anxious. You may feel busy, but it doesn't mean that your soul has to be hurried. When you proclaim the promises of God over your life, you claim to the truth of those promises. The worship team would come. Let me just give you one last thought. We've talked about these elements, the promise, the path, the practice. Let me just say this, peace is the produce too. In Galatians chapter 5, it speaks to us about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Isaiah 26:3 says this, to keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Father God, as we step towards this candlelight moment, Lord, you know those in the room, you know each of us, you know those watching online. God, you know the angst, you know the chaos that some of us feel in this moment. God, you know what we're wrestling with internally and externally. And God, in this holy moment, Lord, I pray, Jesus, Prince of Peace, would you come like only you can? Speak into hearts, speak into lives, your peace. Lord, that we would see you in all of your splendor, in all of your beauty. That we'd be captivated as we look at the flame, the candle, and the flame on it, God, that, and we're just kind of captivated by it. We get memorized by the flame. God, I pray that we'd be memorized by your great peace and your great love. That you stepped into all the mess, the chaos of humanity, and you extend peace. Not in a circumstance or necessarily changing a situation, but you offer peace in a person. And that's Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So Lord, as we sing this song and we reflect on peace in Christ, I pray, Lord, that we would be open and yielded to you. In Jesus' name. Church, would you stand with me? Ushers, if you would come forward at this time. We're going to sing this song. The ushers will make their way through the sanctuary lighting candles. And as we sing, that you would ponder peace, the peace of Christ, and your need for it, and where you find yourself. Father God, you know where each of us is at. And Lord, Christmas is about you sending the perfect gift of salvation through your Son. Lord, if there's anyone in this room, if there's anyone watching online right now that hasn't experienced the Prince of Peace, they've not received that perfect gift of salvation that they would be able to look at today, but also their eternity with a confidence and a peace because they know that Christ has purchased their salvation and has extended to them a free gift of salvation through what he did by his coming, by his death, by his burial, and his resurrection. God, we thank you for that hope. We thank you for the promise of peace in you.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.